The date is August 14th, 2020, and we're still listening to I Used to Like This One, The Lost Pilot. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello, and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me is the Sean Wells to my Colin Stewart.
Hello, I'm Sean Wells.
Who
am I? Sorry, I'm Colin Stewart.
Yeah, you're still Colin Stewart.
I'm still me.
So this week, we continue our retro look back at our first ever episode of I Used to Like This One, which didn't make the cut back in the day, but we are here nakedly showing you what we did before we knew what we were doing.
Exposed,
and looking back at this past year that we've had working together on this show and how much we've enjoyed it. So let's continue on with where we left off last week, and we'll be back in a little while to talk to you about a few other things.
And then we've got more clumsy Chunk as he knocks over Mom's favorite statue and breaks off Mom's favorite piece. So we've now got our first official dick joke.
They make it really, because I was watching that, and they are holding the statue. They put the camera in such a way where you're like really cognizant that there's a penis there, and so that when it goes back and falls and comes back, you're like, okay, I got the joke.
There is not a penis there anymore. Yeah, and of course we've got a bunch of boys that don't know which direction a penis is supposed to face. but you know, this joke starts and I think back and I think, oh yeah, I remember that joke. I remember when that happened. That was hilarious. Yeah, I used to like that one. Oh man, name drop, you like that. But then I just thought, this is a family movie. this is advertised as a family movie, and we've now had like two shits second shit is coming right up, but we've had the word shit said, and we've had a penis joke, and that's my mom's favorite. That's my mom's favorite piece, and then Mouth has the line, "You wouldn't be here if it wasn't." And then when they finally like glue it back on, they've now glued on the penis upside down, and we've got Brand saying, you know, it doesn't go that way. You'd be pissing in your face. And, you know, I think back to the seven words you can't say on television that George Carlin always had. Shit and piss were two of them. Yeah. And so now all of a sudden you've got shit and piss in a family movie. So now we cut to Andy and Steph and
Troy.
Troy is just such an over the top. Troy is douchebag numero uno. Driving around in his convertible, trying to angle his mirror so that he can look up Andy's skirt. She says down her blouse, but what I saw in the mirror was an upskirt shot. I don't know whether, you know, I've mistaken what crotch and boobs look like and confused them, but I'm pretty sure he had that angle down at crotch. And so, you know, just like the opening where we get a little snippet of who people are, yeah, now we know who Troy is. And then they come across Brand on the kid's bike, and they grab Brand by the hand and start driving away and forcing Brand to go, you know, like 50 miles an hour on this little kid's bike. And then straight up almost murders him.
I thought that was such a funny shot where you see, like, the training wheels, like, one flies off, the other flies off. Then, like, the tires, I'm pretty sure the tires, like, light on fire. And then they just send him, like, rolling off the cliff.
He's now going 88 miles an hour. He goes back in time. The bike is, you know, oh, sorry, that's another movie. But same year. But yeah, and yeah, it shoots him off the cliff and yeah, straight up almost murders Brand. I mean, it's like, okay, so you know, this went from harmless child prank to homicide pretty quickly. Like, you know, maybe Troy is another inconsistent bad guy because, yeah, he goes up from really over the top. Andy, you goonie! Yeah, we're going to get to that part. But yeah, but here he's a homicidal maniac. But all because he's got to get to the club and torment people. But yeah, so now we've got the worst special effect of the movie, I'd say. They hold up the medallion to try to size it up to the islands and everything like that. And man, is that some bad blue screen. I don't know. Like, you know, that's part of, you know, does it hold up to today's standards? I mean, effects are, you know, can you get away with effects? The sloth makeup is good.
Yeah.
I actually buy the sloth makeup for most of the time. But yeah, like this, that was just a terrible shot. Terrible blue screen shot. But yeah, they realize that the map is leading them to, or the medallion is leading them to the closed restaurant. Or, well, it's open, but it's the fall, so why is it open? I thought that was only open in the summer, is one of the lines. And I completely had forgotten about this line before watching it, but then I'm glad someone says it once they get inside, you know. Oh, not, it doesn't even look like it's been open for 10 years. It's like, yes! Like, yeah. Even if it's fall and this place was open in the summer, like how disgusting of a restaurant is this? Like, you know, so I really hope that they're right that it's been open for 10 years, but the one kid was so confident that it was open in the summer.
Yeah.
But then
it's clearly been abandoned.
Yeah. And then it also makes me wonder, like, how easy was it for the Fratellis to escape? These kids are biking all around town. Do you see any police presence anywhere? Like, yeah. How did they get to this place? Like, how did they escape the police? Was it when they were in that truck race on the beach? Is that when they escaped the police?
Well, that's what I was saying. I was like,
hit their nitrous and Vin Diesel'd their way out of there. Mama
Fratelli on the way. That I do think there is the end of, I don't know if you've seen the end of Fast and the Furious 2, but that's basically how they get away from the police as well at the end of that movie.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, and I wonder if they just ripped it off of the Goonies, but like,
it's not like Gone in 60 Seconds where they have to jump a bridge, yeah, or something like that. I don't even remember. Yeah. Oh, maybe we'll have to do
but
that.
I guess one. Like, are they saying that they drove that truck along the beach all the way to the coast up to that?
I realize that I need a map of Astoria.
Yeah.
Right? Because it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm jumping ahead here, but they when they get down into the caves, they come across the area where there's all these pipes, and they start shaking the pipes, and it's affecting things going on at the country club. Where the fuck is this country club?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. Like, the restaurant is in the middle of nowhere. How far did they walk to get to these pipes? And then later on, when Chunk lifts up all the things, you hear like traffic screeching and crashing and where are they? The layout of this town makes absolutely no sense, and this restaurant looks like it's at the top of the cliffs, but like you said, they're on the beach.
The restaurant seems very, like, far away, removed, like, in a land of its own.
And the cave is obviously right on the water, because that's where the ship...
But it stretches... Somehow the cave also stretches underneath the... It's almost like, say, like... Say that the restaurant is on one side of the town, and the end of the cave where the pirate ship is on the other side of the town.
Okay, okay.
That they then cross underneath the town to get.
It's a peninsula. it's like a peninsula that they've gone all the way. I think I can buy that one. Yeah, it's like maybe like 5 miles across at its widest point, and they've traveled underground through. But you know, because
they also hit the well. And I'm pretty sure that well seems like it's in, like, the center of town. But I don't know.
The weirdest well in the world. Like, if you actually want to use it as a functioning well, you have to manage to hook the bucket on the other side of all those ledges and everything that are conveniently there for people to stand on.
Any movie that... I mean, you already mentioned Roadhouse. Is there any movie that you felt like, oh my god, I am so glad that I saw this? Outside of Roadhouse,
I think the Lost Boys would be one.
Yeah,
because I love vampires so much. That's kind of, I was too young to watch it when it came out, so it was one of those movies that I kind of just missed and had never seen. But that's definitely one that I really enjoyed quite a bit, and was very glad that we watched it. Police Academy as well. Again, I never seen it before. And I mean, I'm not good. I don't think based on your recommendation, I don't know that I'm necessarily going to go watch all the sequels, but I thought that the first one was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, got way ahead. Okay, so now we're into the restaurant. We meet the Fratellis. The Fratellis, played by, we've got Jake Fratelli, played by Robert Dabby, who I remember him from Die Hard. He was one of the Agent Johnsons in Die Hard. You've got White Agent Johnson and you've got Black Agent Johnson, and someone asks if they're related or something like that. Yeah, so he was one of the Johnson agents, and he was also a bad guy in another great Timothy Dalton James Bond movie. He was the villain in License to Kill. So I was so disappointed that it wasn't License to Kill that was in theaters at the same time as Goonies. I thought, man, it could have been like a Robert Davi, juggernaut in the theaters at that time. And we've got a very, very young, unrecognizable Joe Pantoliano. I don't even know how to say his name. He's the guy in The Matrix that didn't care what a steak tasted like, as long as he didn't have to remember The Matrix, or from Memento, or, a guy that he's the chief in Bad Boys. He's from The Sopranos. Like, he's this guy that I love. I don't know how to say his name. I'm sorry, but so unrecognizable. Like, he was just so young looking, in my opinion. Yeah, and so we're introduced to the Fratellis. I will say that there was a moment in this where I noticed that the Fratellis were shot from a lower angle a lot of the times. What I thought was really interesting is there are times when they will subtitle things and there are times when they won't.
Yeah.
And the Fratellis were never subtitled. They were talking to each other in Italian, and it's just, this is terrifying from a kid's perspective that you have no idea what they're saying in Italian. Whereas at one point when Chunk has his mouth full, they subtitle Chunk. I think that's when they're fixing the statue. He's got his mouth full of food and they subtitle Chunk because his mouth is just full of food. But they don't subtitle the Fratellis, and I thought, wow, that's actually a really nice touch, because that's terrifying, and you're looking at it from a kid's perspective as well.
I also felt like, especially in the restaurant, like when you first see them again, they were shot a lot darker.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's what you're talking about with the angle, but I just felt like they were more shadow on the face. Yeah. And more like...
Yeah, just, it makes them look, more menacing, more, just scarier.
Yeah.
And again, a family movie, but see, this is the kind of scary that I think a kid can handle. Wet Bandit's scary, and this is the darkest it gets. I mean, there were a couple times in like Home Alone where Joe Pesci gets really kind of intense. And so this is one of those moments where it's like, okay, this is fine. But then you've got us going downstairs at some point real soon to a dead body in the freezer. And they're spending a lot of their time moving this body back and forth.
Yeah, I didn't even understand really who the body was, how it was integral to the plot.
Yeah, as far as I know, not at all.
Because he's not like the owner of the restaurant, or maybe he's like the caretaker or something, but like that place has clearly been abandoned. Like, it's not like
they serve orange water. Yeah, yeah, don't forget the orange water. Yeah, it's clearly been abandoned, but the freezer is plugged in because they've got their printing press down in the basement.
Yeah,
you're right. It's clearly been abandoned, but then again, here's another moment too. You're introduced to these people, and they pull Mama Fratelli straight up pulls a switchblade on Mouth and threatens to cut out his tongue. And we go downstairs. We end up seeing. Well, we're not quite there yet. But yeah, we're introduced to Sloth. Sloth is terrifying. Mikey has to pee, so he starts heading down the stairs, and that's when he comes across Sloth. We're introduced to Sloth, who is played by John Matuszak, who of course he also died shortly after this movie came out. He died in 1989. But yeah, he was a defensive lineman for
the Oakland Raiders.
And you may have noticed at one point when they finally do reveal Sloth in his entirety that he is wearing an Oakland Raiders t-shirt.
Is he wearing a Superman shirt? Or is that
no, he tears off the Oakland Raiders t-shirt when he's on the boat, and it's Superman underneath. With, of course, the Superman theme, another little Richard Donner callback. Yeah, I've noticed that there's a lot of little moments where they have little call-outs to certain things. Like, there's a couple Spielberg call-outs in here. There's a couple Chris Columbus call-outs in here.
Yeah, there's a few, like, when I was going back and, like, reading stuff about the movie that I didn't really see. Like, There's like a Gremlins Easter egg. Yep. There's the R2-D2 like on the pirate ship.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, like one of the...
Like I know about R2-D2 and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No, on the pirate ship, there's like... you know how they have like those little wood moldings?
Yeah.
There's one that's a miniature R2-D2.
Oh, shit. I'll have to go back and look at that. That's awesome. And then Mikey comes running back upstairs after he's introduced to Sloth, and he's screaming, and, you know, did he actually have to pee, or was he just snooping? I don't know. Because the fact that he had to pee, or the fact that he has to pee doesn't come up till much later again.
It's also Brand just magically shows back up unscathed.
He got thrown off a cliff as someone tries to murder him. Yeah, and then he shows up, in the middle of this bar and knows that they're in there.
And he also just grabs Mikey and, like, walks out with the entire group. And, like, Mama Fratelli doesn't really... It's like Brand is so intimidating that it seemed up to that point like she might actually kill them all.
Yeah.
But as soon as he comes in, he just takes them all and, like,
This guy is 2 years older. I better not fuck with him.
He's got a bandana, so I mean, you don't want to.
Yeah. Later on in the movie, as they're going through the caves, most of that was actually filmed in sequence, which is something that's pretty rare for a movie to actually film it in sequence. But the actors, because they had been at it for 3 months, were getting so sick of their costumes that they started losing pieces of the... So you'll notice at one point, in the caves, when they stumble across Chester Copperpot, Cobblepot, I'm going to use both. when they come across his skeleton at one point, that's when Brand takes off his bandana and he doesn't have it for the rest of the movie because he was just sick of having it. it's the same later on when Steph loses her glasses as well. But yeah, so yeah, Brand shows up, carries them out, then the girls show up. Mysteriously, for some reason.
I don't remember, but do they explain, like...
I don't think so.
Because they just leave in the car with Troy before...
Yeah.
I don't...
Yeah. Did they walk all the way back from the country club?
Because they were concerned.
Yeah. I think you might have murdered our friend. Can we go back and make sure that we're not an accessory to this shit, please? Like, what is that what happened? Can you just drop us off? You know, it's your charge, not ours. But yeah, so they come back in, and then... And then the Fratellis leave, and they want to go investigate further, and so they use Chunk as a battering ram by saying stuff about his mother that, again, doesn't seem to belong in a kid's movie to me. You know, like, Mouth, what was it? Oh, yeah, no, it was Mouth says that he has naked pictures of his mom in the tub. And all I could think, kids movie!
Yeah.
Kids movie! But, you know, we've got the human battering ram. Chunk gets pissed off. He knocks down the door. And they get down to the basement and they're looking around. And then we've got, like, so much cock blocking happening from the kids. Brandon is trying to, they want to show Sloth off. Mikey wants to show off Sloth. And Brandon is just trying to get with Andy. And twice he is foiled, to kiss Andy, and then Steph becomes the world's biggest wet blanket. She is such a buzzkill that she just can't believe that, you know, Andy would even want to be here, and how dare she? And then Data finds the printing press. Hey, I can get this thing to work because Data can do everything with his Inspector Gadget belt. And they start printing money. And they hand out the money, and Brandon stares at it for a good 3-4 seconds before finally going, oh, this is fake! You know, like, the fact that it was only printed on one side was not enough of it. Like, it just, that was the slowest reaction time.
He was looking for the serial numbers.
He's comparing them. Now, wait a minute. No, this can't be a right serial number because if it's coming from that state, who knows? It's supposed to start with 4. I don't know. There's something like that with American money. I don't know. I just couldn't believe how long it took them to realize it was fake, and then they get mad. And then, of course, Chunk's stomach leads us to the freezer, where he finds the ice cream, and the strategically placed, what was it? There was something, a Wonder Bread, up on the shelf. Yeah, the first product placement in the movie. There's definitely more. Like, not the least of which is Baby Ruth. There's definitely more product placement in this movie.
I know that in the last 52 episodes, there have been things that we brought up in episodes where, you know, we say that we're going to go look at something. We talked about some of them in our last episode. I've got a couple more here for you. What about sequels or all these reboots and everything that we're always saying that we're honoring? Have you watched any of them? I know, like, for example, we did Short Circuit way back somewhere near the beginning of our show, and then we appeared on Josh's 13th Hour podcast, so we both had to watch Short Circuit 2.
Yeah.
Are there any of the other movies where you've watched the sequels or anything?
I'm trying to think of which ones we even did that have sequels. The only one I'm thinking of is Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls.
Yeah, Sister Act 2. You had talked about Bad Boys. You hadn't seen Bad Boys for Life yet.
Yeah, no.
And of course, there's Mortal Kombat and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah, I haven't watched Bad Boys for Life yet, mostly because I'm kind of afraid to. I'm kind of afraid to, like, it's just, it never bodes really well when a sequel is released so long after the initial one, and even, like, its last sequel, Bad Boys 2, which I also really liked.
Yeah.
So, I've been really hesitant to watch Bad Boys. Mortal Kombat, I'm still waiting for it to not be on home release and be able to get it at a reasonable price so that I can not break the bank to watch it. Sister Act 2, I never even thought of, to be honest, but that is one that I would be interested to go back and watch.
Your wife would probably want to watch it with you.
Yeah, she likes those movies.
I know that Bill and Ted's was one for me. After watching Bill and Ted's 1, I went back and watched Bogus Journey. I don't know how you'll react if we get around to doing Bogus Journey here with you.
Yeah, see, I was gonna go watch Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, but I felt like there might be opportunity to watch it for the show, so I've been holding off on that. And then after if we do end up doing it, I am looking forward to watching Face the Music, because I think you said you really liked it.
Yeah, that's one that I have seen. I really enjoyed Face the Music, that's for sure. It's more dumb Bill and Ted, and I mean they've definitely made it more woke than any of the previous Bill and Teds have been. But
yeah,
it was fun.
I know I did when we watched The Mighty Ducks. I watched all the rest of them at the same time.
Okay.
Same with Austin Powers. I kind of just watched the entire trilogy. And with Die Hard, I kind of left alone because I thought we might do Die Hard 2 around Christmas.
Yeah, we promised Jack he has to come back for us.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, I was tempted to go and do Point Break to watch the reboot.
The 2015 one?
Yeah, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Like, after we recorded, I had this second thought of, should I go watch that? But no, I didn't go and watch it.
I felt the same about Point Break and Independence Day. I thought about going and watching, like, Independence Day Resurrection, I think it's called, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then and watching the remake of Point Break, but they both just look so bad that I only have so much time to watch the movies I want to watch. I don't know that I want to waste my time watching movies I already know going into them I'm not going to like.
Yeah. Well, that's the same sort of thing about Space Jam. I'm tempted to watch the new Space Jam, but now that it's actually out, I've heard bad things about Space Jam.
I've heard very, 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 very bad things about it.
Yeah, so I haven't gotten around to doing that one yet. I know I did see the Coming to America sequel.
All right, yeah.
And it's pretty mindless. Like, it's one of those ones that there's a lot of wink, wink, nudge, nudge for the people that are familiar with the original movie. But overall, it's kind of a movie of very little substance. It gave me some laughs, but it's kind of like, meh, it was what it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got the discovery of the dead body. Corpse cream is what I wrote down. and then the Fratellis come home, and there is just so much passion over pepperoni. So much passion over pepperoni. You know, Chunk smells the pepperoni, and they say, Chunk, be quiet. And he goes, but it's pepperoni. And then they're upstairs, and it's not about pizza, it's about pepperoni. You know, hey, can I get a slice of that pepperoni? Here, you take this pepperoni. Ma, he just threw pepperoni at me. You know, like,
yeah.
was the word pizza copyrighted back in 1985 that you had to say that it was pepperoni and not pizza? But yeah, so I mean, you know, Chunk being fat almost ruins it for everyone.
Again.
But we've got Chunk being locked in the freezer at this point. We've already discovered that the water that Chunk, when Chunk breaks the water jug, it all flows down to the grate underneath the fireplace that is illuminated for some reason.
Yeah.
But Chunk ends up locked in the freezer with the dead body, and everyone else escapes to, under the fireplace to the tunnels. And Chunk is left alone to save everybody's life and go get help. And I wrote down, oh shit, Chunk. The plan hinges on Chunk.
The one thing I wanted to say about that dead body is, like, I appreciate that even though that person is never in the movie before or after, like, it's a real person.
Yeah.
Because at multiple times, like, when the kids are carrying it, you can see they're, like, moving their legs to, like, bring the body. And then there's a point, I think, when the body falls on, like, Mikey or Chunk, that you can see the person blink. Oh. And I was like, man, like, you could have just used a dummy or something. Yeah. Like,
yeah. No, he's actually a stuntman.
Okay.
Yeah, they got an actual stuntman for that. But yeah, I guess even stuntmen have to blink. Yeah, so then they get down to the cellar, or get down underneath the restaurant or whatever, down the tunnels. Chunk gets out the window. Why is it so dark? But yeah, down in the tunnels, this is when Steph loses her glasses, and she basically becomes Velma from Scooby-Doo. I wear glasses. You wear glasses. Have you ever at any point dropped your glasses and had to grope around trying to find them?
No. But I feel like that was a really common thing back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, my glasses, you know, and then Scooby-Doo and Shaggy come in and step on them. Yeah. Oh, except in this case, it's Milk that steps on it. You know, and of course, we've also got Mikey that's always, you know, sucking on that inhaler like it's like it's got the cure in it or something. And I don't mean the cure for asthma, I mean for everything.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, at the end, he just tosses it over his shoulder like, yeah, okay, I'm not asthmatic anymore. You know, I also love how, you know, like, the mom is so concerned about him even going outside because of asthma, like, way at the very beginning. And then, like, you know, within 2 minutes of her leaving, they're out on the deck, you know, watching yeah. Chunk do the truffle shuffle. So, yeah, it's really dark now that Chunk has climbed out through the window. I didn't think it was that close to sunset when they went into the building, but maybe they've been in there for hours. I guess, you know, we can't say for sure. And then Chunk, being the idiot that he is, flags down a car, tells the entire story of everything that has just happened to him, you know, the names and everything, like he thinks that he just flagged down a cop car. And the light turns on, and oh my god, it's one of the Fratelli brothers looking right at him. And then this is where, you know, we go from bumbling to terrifying again with these guys, and they throw him in the trunk with another dead body.
Yeah.
Or sorry, with the same dead body that they've apparently been taking in and out of the building all day. I don't know. The mystery man that, yeah, but yeah, Chunk is stuck in there with the dead body.
I thought that was a nice shot too, of the mirror when you see the light come on and it's Jake's face.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh yeah, shit. And
starts singing the opera or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's actually a trained opera singer.
Oh.
And then so we've now got them down in the tunnels, and now's when we come across the pipes that where I said that I didn't understand the layout, but I think you've helped me figure that out. But then it shows all the things that they're doing to the city above them. How by moving these pipes, they're terrorizing everybody at the country club. The guy that gets hit in the face with the water fountain, and then you've got the guys in the shower, and the random guy with the eye patch. I wanted to know whether this was, like, you know, a brother of someone or something. I wasn't able to find out, but it seems so random that, you know, with these three old guys in the shower, that one of them was wearing an eye patch for some reason. and all the taps get pulled out of the wall and everything like that. And then for some reason we go back to good old Troy, who's sitting on the toilet reading his Guns and Ammo magazine. And for some reason, when the toilet explodes under him and he lands on the floor, he yells, Daddy! Okay?
He's just such a daddy's boy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it just... like, why? That was such a weird reaction. I don't understand why he... Troy... You're the worst.
Now, for anyone that is a regular listener, you know that Colin and I love bringing in guests. We love doing the show on ourselves, by ourselves as well. We, you know, I can't even look at our numbers and decide which our listeners actually prefer. The only thing we know for sure, though, is that our listeners love Joel Sims, or at least one specific listener loves Joel Sims. But guests have always been something that we've enjoyed doing, and we mentioned a couple of them. We've got Chris and Joel. One thing that I've absolutely loved about this last year is some of the friendships that we've made over having this podcast and being part of this podcast community. For anyone that isn't a podcaster, like, you would be shocked to find out just how much love and support there is for other podcasts. Even if we are trying to start a rivalry with one of them, like I am with Conan O'Brien, there's still a certain aspect of respect for the people that are in this community. So we've made friends like Josh Blum and Brady Hester and Frank Driscoll. And of course we had Aaron and Chris from the Sports Rundown, who unfortunately retired from podcasting, but really without this world, we would have never known these people. So I don't even know where I'm going with this.
So let's pick our favorite. Standout. I think like standout guest episodes for me was definitely like the Mighty Ducks with Aaron and Chris. Like those guys just came. I just felt like they came to play.
Yeah.
they had so much to say, which was awesome. I loved doing Blade with Frank.
Yeah.
You know, I love our hometown heroes as well. Joel, doing Home Alone with Joel was awesome. Die Hard with Jack was so much fun.
Carly has been a blast.
I thought Carly was awesome with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and Ferris Bueller. I think we just need to declare Carly our resident John Hughes
expert.
Absolutely.
Will, obviously, great guy to have. Lots of knowledge and lots of things to say. So, yeah.
Yeah. I really appreciated what David brought to the show as well. David has also been one of my big standouts. I mean, like, it's so hard. Like, I don't want to say anything bad about any of the other people that, because we've been so appreciative of all the guests we've had on our show, from Martin and Tyler to, you know, Marin and I'm probably missing some people. Kingsley, you know. There's definitely a reason why Joel and Chris have come back, though, is because they're always such a blast to have, and that doesn't take away from any of the other people, because they've all been a blast to have, but there's something about the energy that those guys bring especially.
And so then we get back to the Fratellis in the restaurant, and this is where they need to get everything out of Chunk.
this was my favorite scene of the movie, probably my favorite Chunk moment, when they're like grilling him and they're like, tell us like the worst thing you've ever done. He's just going on about all his like all the bad things he's ever done.
Yeah, this is one of those moments that I was able to think back to when I was younger, and the visceral reaction. Like I was able to remember that of when she drops the tomato into the blender and she holds his fist over top of it.
Yeah,
and I just remember how terrifying that thought was for me. Like this was a truly terrifying scene when I was younger.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking at it now, I absolutely appreciate Chunk and everything that he's confessing to, and just on and on and on, tears in his eyes. I guess Jeff Cohen pretended that imagined that his mom was dead to get there for this performance. This is the reason why he won that Saturn Award, that coveted Saturn best new young actor award or whatever it was. Yeah, and then you know we're following. I like how his monologue is broken up into chunks as we see what the kids are doing down in the caves, because that shows just how long Chunk is confessing for in first grade. Chunk is great. I do like Chunk. But yeah, we've got down in the caves, we've got Andy losing her shit, just absolutely going batty. Like, everyone seems to get a moment.
Yeah.
You know, except Data. I don't think Data really gets a moment. But like, you know, they've all got their Oscar speeches all ready to go. So Chunks is the blender, you know, and then we've got Andy saying, you know, I'm pretty, don't you think I'm pretty? And just like off her rocker in this scene, you know, and then later on we've got Mikey's wishing well speech, and we've got Corey Feldman's, you know, yeah. speech about the wishes.
The wishes.
But yeah, so we come across the very, very terrifying looking Chester Copperpot skeleton crushed under a rock. And I once again think this is a kid's movie. And then they start grave robbing and going through his wallet, and they come across a baseball card. Someone you may have heard of, a young rookie named Mickey Mantle. And he looks at the card and goes, Mickey Mantle, and then just throws it away. And my first thought is, this would probably pay for your house. You know, or, you know, maybe in 2020 this Mickey Mantle card would probably pay for the house. But it was in good condition. It seemed like it was well-preserved down there. And
it's funny because, like, baseball references are completely lost on me. But, like, now that you mention it, I do remember there's other TV shows and movies where they always reference, like, Mickey Mantle and Mickey Mantle baseball cards like they're this big thing.
Yeah.
You know? But when I watched it, I was like, I was just like, oh, that's... I was actually thinking, like, what was the point of that card? Like, yeah. I didn't get it when I watched the movie.
No, it's just because it's, like, it's this kid that's never heard of Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is, I'm not much of a sports guy. You know, like, you just said that you're not much for baseball. I don't know about other sports, but I'm a Canadian kid that likes his hockey, and that's about it. You know? But I know about the other sports.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sports illiterate, but even I know that, yeah, you come across a Babe Ruth, a Lou Gehrig, a Mickey Mantle, I know those are going to be a valuable card.
Yeah.
You know, so it would be the equivalent of making Goonies today and going, oh, Michael Jordan basketball card, what's that shit, and throwing it away. You know, like, it just, you know, Derek Jeter, who's that, right? Like, it just, you know, I think it was just, yeah, one of those that was thrown in there to show the ignorance of kids that they're looking at something great. Oh, sorry, Lou Gehrig. It is a Lou Gehrig card. I wrote down Lou Gehrig, so maybe it was Mickey Mantle. I'm remembering it as Mickey Mantle, but I wrote down Lou Gehrig. Either way, we're talking about a baseball card from the 30s. You know? So they've got the body of Chester Copperpot, and one of my favorite little sight gags is right here where the skull comes off Chester Copperpot, and Brand reaches down and puts the skull back where it belongs, you know, shows some dignity for the dead, and then wipes his hand on Mouth's shirt. It was just one of these great moments where I'm like, yes! You show that little twerp.
So, Colin, I've found some reviews of us. We have a lot of 5-star reviews. So I do want to say to the people that have taken the time to give us reviews, it is unbelievably appreciated. Thank you so much. We love you for it. I know that at the end of every episode we said it doesn't matter what the reviews say, but I do want to thank all these people specifically. So we've got Joan, Harv, and Jill is the name. It says, very enjoyable podcast and well worth a listen.
Nice.
Or I guess we could also say, like Brad and Lisa say, these are our words of affirmation.
Yeah.
From Beans, the Magical Fruit, we have, great show. This podcast makes me want to revisit movies from the past. So much nostalgia. From Orange Stargazer, we have, fun show. These guys are great. Neat new podcast to check out. From Sexy Pants 1, we've got, fun look at 80s movies. Everyone should be listening to this show. Awesome. We have Stoic Chimera, who says, good show. Always interesting to hear others' thoughts on some of these classic films. We have XYE Cells, who says, worth a listen. Take a few minutes out of your day to check out this podcast. It won't disappoint, I assure you. From Nana Fairbridge, we have, such a good show. From the Ole apostrophe, the Ole Linemen, we have, love the journey down memory lane. Feels good. From Salty Bone, we've got, fun to listen and reminisce about the movies of yesteryear. Hope they're around for a long time, reviewing more of my favorite childhood flicks. From Doc Cinema 78, we have, it's always fun to jump into some movie nostalgia. These guys do a good job, with a thumbs up emoji. We have an update from Walter Mondale fan, who says, "To my friends, and I used to like this one. It is with a heavy heart I report the passing of former Vice President Walter Frederick Fritz Mondale at the age of 93. I believe a short message at the top of your next episode would be appropriate. Regards, Walter Mondale fan." I'm sorry that we didn't get that back in April when you posted that originally, but there we go. A shout out to Walter Mondale. Joel made sure that he shouted him out in our Independence Day episode as well. We've got Lori JSE, who says, "Good show. Straight into the point." Thank you, Lori. We've got PDX Listener 2020, who says, "So fun to revisit a favorite old movie like The Goonies. Enjoyed the podcast and looking forward to listening to more." Got our friend Josh, JS Blum, says, "If you've ever wondered if that movie you loved as a kid is still watchable as an adult, or if you've tried to convince one of your kids that this movie you loved that was made way before they were born is awesome, and then questioned your judgment later, you should check out this show. Sean and Colin put a lot of work into a weekly show that aims to be both lighthearted and critical from an adult perspective." Another friend of the show, Aaron Brewster, has said, "Love everything about this podcast. Sean and Colin cover movies straight out of my childhood and adolescence and are super funny and clever when giving you the rundown of the weird, interesting, and hilarious facts about each. They keep each episode interesting and are quite the pun masters, too. Keep them coming, guys." I never thought that we were that much of a pun master, but thank you, Aaron. And then finally, we've got Keeping Life Simple, says, "I stumbled across the Planes, Trains, and Automobile episode and have been hooked ever since. It's a wonderful trip down memory lane to remember amazing movies and decide if they are really worth our love or not. Sean and Colin do a great job of keeping my attention engaged. It's always a good and entertaining time. I look forward to a new episode every Friday. Definitely recommend."
Nice.
One of those reviews came from the UK. 5 of them came from the US and the rest are Canadian reviews. So thank you, every single one of you, for giving us a review.
And then we've got, they find the dynamite.
Yeah.
Or the candles.
The candles.
But one of them is a stick of dynamite, but I wasn't paying close enough attention, and I thought they were all sticks of dynamite.
I thought they were all dynamite. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, are they just ignorant? And then I was thinking, like, oh, do they think they're like fireworks?
Yeah.
Like,
and then Data goes back into the cave. Well, see, and this is one of the notes that I wrote down until I did watch this a second time, and I realized that, okay, no, only one of them was actually a dynamite the second time I watched it. But I had written down, you know, he's going back to set booby traps, booby traps, which is how they do it in the movie, of course. And I thought, why are you setting booby traps? You've got dynamite.
Yeah.
No, just go set up the dynamite. But yeah, it was only one stick that conveniently they don't light it on the ship later on, and they get to save it till the end. But yeah, so then we've accidentally set off a tripwire that Mikey finds buried in the dirt, and we've now got Rube Goldberg contraption number 2, the deadly booby trap, and everyone gets the rocks falling on them, and they have to scramble through the hole in the wall, you know, and this is my first case where it's, stop touching stuff, guys. you know, maybe your curiosity is a little too much at this point.
The thing about that one is, like, it's not even like they tripped over it. They literally, like, find a string in the dirt that they have to pull up.
Like, it was buried. It was safe. Yeah. Yeah, and so they get on to the next section of this, Raiders of the Lost Ark type cave setup that they've got, and they come across the rock that Bran decides he wants to move, and we've got Steph's only good line in the movie, where she tells him, "God put that rock there for a reason."
Yeah.
Her only good line, and then we've got the worst.
Yeah, some of the worst bat effects I've ever seen in my
the
life.
The ones that they're actually shooting out of the hole are like garbage bags or something like that, wrapped, you know, like tied in a knot or something, and they're just launching them out of an air cannon. But then you've got the few that are the hero
like,
bats.
The close-up ones are like... They're just like the rubber bats that you'd find at like a Halloween store, just dangling from
Yeah. I swear I can see strings is kind of how you're feeling at that point. And so we're doing all this while still cutting back to Chunk. And, you know, Chunk is now telling his puke story of puking off the balcony at the movie theater. And then we've got the reverse Stockholm Syndrome moment where Jake says, I'm really beginning to like this kid. You know, the captor's falling in love with her. You know, and then Mama, of course, you know, with the hip puree line to just ramp it up a notch here. And then we do have a good line from Data coming up. We go back to the kids in the cave. If I dig down this deep and hit China, maybe I can visit my aunts. talking about when they come, I think that's when they come across the pit of spikes or something like that. Or no, maybe not. Oh, I don't know. I don't even know. But yeah, I did write that down though because I thought that was a funny line.
Well, there we go. That is part two of the Goonies. Look back at our lost pilot. Oh boy, Colin, it's rough, isn't it? It's rough.
Yep.
but quite the memories. I am enjoying this look back, and I'm sure, because we are recording this ahead of time, I'm sure we're enjoying our vacation time quite a bit as well. I think we've earned some time off.
I'm probably just working and, you know, just taking care of my kid and, you know, not really doing anything too fun at the moment. But hopefully that's not true. Hopefully I'll listen back to this and be doing something better than that.
Well, if you like this week's show and you don't mind that we're doing this retrospective because we needed a bit of a mental break, tell your friends. Share our posts. Word of mouth is really important for a podcast. If you're a first-time listener, this is not what our podcasts normally sound like, so go back and check out some of our other episodes. Us being on vacation is a perfect time for you to go back and check out all the old episodes. Maybe go on whatever app it is you listen to your podcasts on and give us 5 stars. Help drive us up the charts. Help us get noticed. And then we can come back stronger than ever, just between word of mouth and 5-star reviews.
Yeah, if you want to go check out our back catalog, I'd highly recommend you go to our website, www.iusedtolikethisone.com. There you can find links to all of our podcast episodes. I might recommend The Mighty Ducks. I'd recommend you go listen to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Home Alone, Land Before Time. I'd start there, maybe. Those are all very good ones to start. Blade, featuring our best friend, Frank Driscoll. But you can also find on our website links to all of our social media. We have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have Twitter. Go on there, give us some comments, give us some shares, give us some likes. Drop us a line at our email, iusedtolikethisone@gmail.com. You know, send us funny memes that Sean can use. Send us some congratulations on 1 year of podcasting. Send us your hate mail, your fan mail. If you want autographs, we can definitely oblige you. Or just let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
And if you want to be a producer of the show, just like our executive producer, Joshua Blum, where you can get a shout out on our show if you become a producer, just go over to patreon.com/iusedtolikethisone, become a financial supporter of our show, and become part of our family. I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells, music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. Thank you for listening. And join us next week when we continue our little mini deep dive into our lost episode on I Used to Like This One.